Inoho, please be seated.
Sorry about the delay. A technical hitch, which is now resolved. Mr. Page.
Now call Margaret Edith Hoare.
I do.
Is your full name Margaret Edith Hoare?
Yes.
And are you a director of Glenshee Station Limited?
Yes.
And did you prepare a brief of evidence dated the 4th of February, I think it's the 4th, in February 2021?
Yes.
And do you confirm that it's true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
I do.
Thank you. Now, Mrs. Hoare, you've got a map behind you which shows the Maniatoto catch, not Maniatoto, Maniatoto catchment to the right of the Manaharikia catchment shown in red. Can you first show us generally the location where Glenshee would be?
Glenshee would be up here, the Danzies Pass. It's on the left-hand side of the Danzies Pass and where the three mountain ranges meet, the Hawkden, St Mary Range and the Kakanui's.
Are there two Hoare families farming in that area?
There's lots of Hoare's families farming in that area.
It's just that our helicopter pilot or somebody was really interested in the rugby-playing Hoare family, so if that is in your area, then we'll throw you.
They're all related way, way back.
Okay.
Great-grandfathers and things like that.
That's right. We overflew your station yesterday.
And then Wedderburn is where Peter and I live now, and this is the Wedderburn Creek, and we are around just on the creek here, just from Wedderburn, and then just down from Cairns, we're on the Downs scheme on that comes off the Dunstan Creek.
Mm-hmm. And is that the property you call Gidding Downs?
Yes, that's Gidding Downs.
Right. And there's a third property, isn't there, called Cornag?
That's the one at Wedderburn.
That's at Wedderburn.
Yes.
Okay. And so what's the permit position with the three properties? What's been renewed and what are you still involved with?
Glenshee has got a 35-year permit, and we got that 2 years ago, and then it had to go through Environment Court. Hamish McKenzie will be able to tell you a bit more on that part of it. So we've got a 35-year permit there. Cornag is part of the Hawkden. Hawkden Idaburn scheme, and then we're part of the Manaharikia, and our permit's gone in now with the group of permits.
Okay. Mrs. Hoare, can you just remain where you are and answer any questions, please?
Thank you.
Ms. Mahop.
Good afternoon. I've just got a couple of questions around, I think in particular, your paragraphs 10 and 11 of your statement of evidence.
Yes.
And I'm particularly interested in the timing of the establishment of infrastructure on your property that you've referred to there. But I think if we start with Gidding Downs,
yes,
you refer there to 12% of the property being irrigated, and that pivots were purchased adding some K-line. What was the time frame around that?
We took over the property in 2009 and the pivots were already there, but there were some small areas that we could, we've got a pump away from where the pivots are that we spray irrigate, and then there's a wee bit of an area within the pivots that we do as well. But we can only do it when the water's available. So it depends on your season and water available. And there are no dams there because there isn't a dam, a good site for a dam.
And in relation to the Cornag, is that how am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, that's fine.
There, it was originally all contour flood irrigation, and you've now invested in pivot irrigation?
Yes, we have, and it's gravity fed into dams. We've extended the first dam that was there, and we put another dam in to give a surety of water for our pivots.
And what was the timing of that dam in?
We took over that farm in 2011 and started working on setting up the pivot then. So it was just progressive. The thing about irrigation is that it's a progressive thing, and you work away, because the likes of Glen Shee, we started as soon as we went there, we replaced the siphon like in the photos. And so it's a continuous thing. You've got to be working at it and putting it within what you're doing. You can't just say, I'm doing this, because it's progressive stuff. It's over the years. So your investment is over a long period of time. And the improvement is over a period of time. And then the next generation come on, and they're definitely into pivots. So it's that opportunity of each person to build on what the other one has done.
And one of the reasons for my questions is just to establish whether the infrastructure that you're referring to was established prior to March last year, or whether you've undertaken some further development since then in terms of capital investment in the property.
It was March last year, but we're still working and thinking about what you're doing next.
Okay. So it was before March last year?
Yep.
Thank you. And consistent with questions, if you were here this morning, were you here this morning?
Yes.
You were, in terms of questions around the maximum irrigation area between September 2017 and March 2020, whether you would be able to mark or highlight on a map the maximum area that's been irrigated on your properties during that time?
We have maps for each property, and it is according to what water's available or what crops or whatever else you're doing with it. So, but we have maps of all of them. I've got a 2014 one I did at Glen Shee, so they're long-term maps.
And you would have the records to be able to mark on those maps the areas that are irrigated, have been irrigated during those years?
It would be the sons and my husband and the man that works. I'm part of a team, and I'm not so much into that part. I've probably got the paperwork that you need to find.
Okay. It's a team effort then?
Very much so.
Yes. Okay. Those were the questions that I had. Thank you.
Thank you. Re-examination. Thank you. Commissioner.
Good afternoon. I just have a couple of questions. So I'm just wanting to understand, in terms of getting downs, do you have another water source for irrigation water, or is the downs feed from Dunstan Creek the sole?
The Downs Creek is the sole one, and we there's four of us on that scheme that share the water, yes.
So, same question for Cornay Farm. So,
just being told we've lost our recording system again, so that hasn't happened in the last 5 weeks, so we're just going to have to take another pause, because what you have to say is really important and we want to capture it on the record, so we'll just take another short adjournment whilst we reboot that.
Thank you.
All rise. Inoho, please be seated. Okay. We're ready to roll.
So I was asking you the question about Cornay now, in terms of your irrigation water source. So you said that you take water from the Hawkedon-Ideburn irrigation scheme, And we did fly over the length, the very lengthy conveyor of the water. That scheme, I understand.
Yes.
My question is, do you have any other irrigation water sources other than the Hawkden Idaburn irrigation scheme?
For those two, no, and then there's Glenshee. We're part of the Kyburn KCL pipe.
Right.
Catchment Limited.
And your evidence tells us that's been reconsented. But do you have any other water sources?
No, that's
there?
All. That's all.
All right. Okay.
That's enough.
So thank you for that. So I just had one other question I want to ask you, and I just need to find it. So I'm just looking at your paragraph 30. So perhaps if you wouldn't mind turning that up. So you've talked about being committed to monitor and manage native fish populations in some of our tributaries. So that's related, is it, to the Kyburn Catchment Group and the reconsenting that was done there?
It is. And I think you'd find out Hamish is a director and he will give you more up-to-date information on that than what I can.
Right. And so you also go on to talk about the productive relationship with iwi and DOC in terms of...
They've been supportive of us. DOC originally did a report for Kyburn. Peter Ravenscroft, he was the one who did it, and it taught us a lot about what there was in our catchment and gave us a far greater understanding of it all and the importance of it, so that we have, with all that and with iwi, we've also said that we would not allow farming, people to farm eels, take the eels from the Kyburn area either. But the ongoing of what they're going to do further on with it, Hamish might be able to give you a bit more information
sure.
than me.
So I guess my next question is, presumably in terms of that productive relationship with iwi and DOC, that presumably assisted in the consenting process?
Yes, I think it is. I think you'll find that Hamish, with his, there's an appendix in Hamish McKenzie. There's appendix one, and it has the set of our consents.
Yes, I do
in
remember
there.
Looking at
and
that.
And so, yes, I'm sorry, I didn't bring mine with me.
No. That's fine, but I thought you might be able to confirm that from your memory of it that had been helpful in terms of the reconsenting process. Do you know anything about that at all?
I think it's all important that we've got a far greater understanding of everything that goes on with our water, because I looked further back in some of the very earlier information, 40 years ago, and the wording is quite different and what we look at is quite different. So we have a far greater understanding of all the things for our catchment than we've ever had.
Sure.
And I think that's really important. And it flows on with what Manahirakia has done. We started off with just doing a Form 4 and filling it out. That's why you've got my photos. Then we went into forming a catchment group and getting a far greater understanding of our interactions. And then you see what they've built on top of that and all the work that's gone on there. That, what we're doing now with our water and that whole look at... what everything that's affected, and even with your iwi, having that water from the mountain to the sea is also important. So we've gained so much. I've sort of been in the farming. I came into it 48 years ago, and there was the contour irrigation on the family farm that we worked on to begin with before we went to Glenshee. So the whole knowledge has been growing all the way through. It doesn't stop. If we let it stop, we're not going to...
Right.
Yeah.
And so the knowledge will continue growing. It's
yes.
not going to
no.
stay still. So Just in terms of your paragraph 30, I was just wondering about people in terms of your comment on you can't imagine there being any appetite for that sort of work under a short-term permit regime. I suppose my question is, given what you've just said about the greater knowledge that you've gained, why would people not want to do that? Because wouldn't it help them down the track or day to day to understand?
I think the process of going for our water rights has been a long process. I think it's taken 14 years or more of our lives working at it. And so it's not a short process just to do something in 6 years. It's a very much an ongoing building one. So we need the assurance of what we build on, we gain with our time as well. And we've got the next generation chasing up behind us. So we need surety for them as well. I'm 71 now. I won't be doing this in 6 years' time. But what we've gained is very important, that, you know.
Sure. So that knowledge that's going to continue to be built on through the generations, is that... that's been an important thing for you?
Yes. Very much so.
Yes.
And so, the assurance that they can carry on and do it. But you have a 6-year hiatus of nothing happened. What do we lose in that 6 years as well? Because that building on it each year is important.
So I'm a little confused.
Oh, I suppose I believe
your reference to what do you lose? What you lose. So I guess there's some of those natural values in terms of the native fish populations. That might be one thing that if.
Well, we lose our impetus. We've been working at it. They've put a lot of work into Manuhirikia, and all the stuff sitting there, so much knowledge, so much, they've done the hydrology, they've done everything, and they've built on even more than what we've even had in Kyvan, because we've learned, as we go on, we learn more. So everybody's busy and ready to go. You put a 6-year hold on it, you hold that, you know, you're ready to make it all work, and you can't.
Well, I guess my question
is...
I
know, sorry, I just have
I was thinking about people, you know, if that was turned out to be what it was, shorter-term permits, in terms of people positioning themselves for the period beyond, why wouldn't they try to do some of these things earlier on a voluntary basis?
But they have been. They've been trialling. It's like we trialled the flows in Kyvan, because when we first started, we looked at our residual flows after each take to then start understanding, you know, protecting the galaxids and things like that, collecting, you know, protecting things. Then we thought about how we manage those flows for our shearing so that we left enough for the next person, particularly in, with the summer flows. When the water's there, there's plenty. So there was a whole lot more things. You look at your values, you look at your waterway, your ecology, and it's a whole lot of things you're looking at. So you've started working on that earlier than you think, and there was a lot of discussion, a lot of learning to do. And so I feel that a lot of the work's been done. It's not as if... if you have to work with it, they'll have to work with it, and people will work with it. But it would be rather nice if we could keep our momentum going and use what we put the work into. I think that's what it comes down to. It's the way the pathways work. We're here because we're passionate about what we believe in, so... whatever we do, we'll make things work.
Okay, well, look, thanks for that very honest assessment that you've just given me.
So I don't have any other questions.
I've just got one question. It's actually about your paragraph 31, and I just needed to understand that a little bit better. Paragraph 31, many practical problems with short-term permits. Six-year permit doesn't cover the variability of our climate. I understand that. Winter and drought-proofing farms, winter feed. Peter always aims for a quantity that gave 3 years storage for average winters. Peter's your husband.
Yes.
Yep. And that sentence, it's about water. Yeah, what's that sentence about? Is it about storage of water or?
We had a big storm in 1996.
Yeah.
And we used up all our feed.
Yeah.
I think even we had some extra said to us. Then you've got to build up that feed again.
Mm.
So you're not just building up one season on top of another season.
Okay, so now I'm going to display my ignorance. How much? So you're talking about winter feed? Yeah, what are we talking about here?
Winter feed.
Winter feed.
But how much have you got the thing storage? Is that by having, you know, we've got, because we have a harsh climate.
Yeah.
So 1992 was a tough season. 1994, 1996 was when we used all our feed. 2013 was the last one, and we used a significant amount of our feed. We then have to build our stocks again. Mm-hmm. So what we work on is more than just a season. You're working on a number of years.
So you're putting 3 years' worth of feed into the storage.
To keep it there all the time.
To keep it there all the time. It's on a rolling.
Yeah, so if you use it all, you've got to replace it. And so you mightn't get it all replaced that season.
Okay. So what did you do after the 96 storm to rebuild that?
Well, we had the irrigation, not maybe as well now, but you just keep on making it till you replenish it. And hope like hang, you don't get another
big storm.
Storm the next year that you haven't replaced everything. It's more the fact that in farming, you set yourself up to protect yourself so you're not expecting. And then you also had that feed there. It's been a bit drier lately, so they've been feeding out to the ewes at Cornick. I don't think they have at Glenshee.
So the 96 storm was a snowstorm?
A big snowstorm.
Which lay on the ground for several weeks?
For some time, yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. And then you fed out all of the winter feed.
All the winter feed.
About 3 years, and then you started to rebuild that.
Yes.
Whilst praying for relatively good weather.
Or you hope that you've got a good season to replace it. But it might take you a couple of years. So anything we do isn't just from year to year.
No.
And that's what that was about.
Okay. So you could feed out, obviously, in a dry season as well, and people are feeding out around Canterbury.
Just keeping, and there is a bit of feeding out at Cornegg at the moment, just to get the ewes up there, because there isn't, it's just to keep them.
Okay. And so I get that. How does that link in with a six-year permit?
Well, what are we guaranteed with our water even after that? I think I'm fearful that we can get our 6 years, but what assurance have we got after that we are going to get our water, get our, you know, what? We've got to have a lot of trust, but I'm fearful. And I think we don't know. We don't know, and I think that's very hard to deal with.
It's an awful position to be in. I mean, I can only imagine that, but it's an awful position to be in. And the counterpoint to that position is, if you get a long-term permit, whatever that means, what then, when things change again, and they'll change under a land and water plan somehow?
I think in 35 I've got, we accept the limits and conditions might change from time to time, and we have to cope with that when it happens. But short-term limits with no assurance of renewal, you know, they're scary. I think we do understand that there will be things
change.
That's part of it. And you know, we believe in our Otago and our communities and everything as well. We
so
all do.
Is the fear here, and fear is a good word, especially in court, in terms of unpacking and understanding what the concerns are. The fear is not so much that you have a 6-year consent, which hopefully is taking with you, you know, suitable conditions to, you know, that replicate or mimic exactly what you're doing now. Mm. It's not that. It's that in the plan to come, somebody will say it's overallocated and you're off. You can't have any water. Is that what the fear is?
It's not the over-allocation because we can only take what comes.
Yeah.
So our seasons vary according to that.
Yeah.
It's the fear that, well, will we even have our water? What will we have? You know, it's we live with our climate and live with what is available and accept that. And we have put dams in to help that. But that's part of our life. But it's the fear of what other changes there will be. You know, even, well, Plan Change 7, what else will happen in that time? So it's that fear of the unknown, of what will be ahead of us.
Yeah, it's the fear of what's ahead of you, as I sense it, because this plan change is not meant to be taking things away. It's not meant to be doing that, which is why all of the major effort's gone into the schedule by the court, and will go in, you know, in terms of the provisions as well, you know, the rules and all the rest of it. All right. So the fear is the fear of the plan to come, if I could put it that way, and then what restrictions might come down with that new plan.
Yes.
And is the fear there because you... you don't have any sense, and to be fair, neither do I, of any time frames which then might be applied.
Yes.
You know, are we all going to expected to change in year one, or is it going to be a staggered approach whilst, you know, people and community work on problems, whatever that word problems means? It might mean something to do with galaxies, but it might mean something else. So you don't know, you don't have a sense of the time frames which might apply.
And I think the fact that that the ones that have got through with their 35 years,
how much
change has there been to say that one lot can have it then and one lot can't have it now, when the work that's been put in and the work on bringing a group together, you know, I find that quite hard because they haven't, they've built even more on what's been done before. So that makes it quite hard to understand why we can suddenly change on all those ones at this stage, so far down the track, when they're ready to do it.
I can't comment about that.
No.
I mean, I know that people talk about the Lindis and they talk about the Kyburn in that way, and it says, if, you know, why not us? They've got their long-term consents, so why can't we have long-term consents? And I get that in the sense that it must seem really unfair, and unfortunately the Act is written in a way where these plan changes can come along, or these new plans can come along, and even an RPS is coming along next month. That's just the way that this Act works, and so I can't do anything in relation to that. So I do understand that sense of unfairness. But just reflecting back, it's your fear that you don't know what's going to come along after 6 years. That's what's concerning. And the thing that the court has to think about is, for yourselves, if you get a long-term permit, and the same applies to Lindis and Kyburn, who've got long-term permits, then will there be a sense of grievance and unfairness when the regional council, having gone through a public process, says actually things have to change, and then that impacts on the investments people have made, not only in terms of their funds but their futures for their kids and also for the community. So that's the two sides of the of the problem. Want to comment about that, or do you get that that's two sides
of the
understanding?
It's all all part of it, but the important thing is that we come and express it and be part of it.
Yeah, no, and I really appreciate that. And it is, for the court, actually really helpful to talk about what those fears and concerns are. So, again, that the court is aware of that. And if the court can work on that problem, then work on the problem. You know, we're picking it up as we go and are working on problems as we hear them. But, yeah, some things I can't do in terms of changing the Act. But actually, that is another thing that troubles me in all of this, is that we're going to have three pieces of legislation. The fact we're having three new pieces of legislation doesn't trouble me in the slightest. But that's also... another unknown, if you like, which is feeding into this uncertainty going forward. All right. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think...
They're helpful about that storage of winter feed. I get that. All right.
Just confirming for me, you've got three properties now, is that right?
Yes.
And... Glensheys and Kyburn, and that's got a 35-year consent, that's sorted, is that right?
Yes.
And Gidding Downs is in Manaherikia, and that's being processed at the moment?
Yes.
And Cornagers in the Maniototo, so that's a third?
That's the Hawkden, Idaburn, and yes. I think you've got Ken Gillespie speaking about that.
Okay. So you've got an interest in three different...
Yes.
Okay. You commented favourably on the work in Manaherikia, particularly from the race manager's point of view. In Kyburn, do you have a similar sort of setup, or...?
No, we're much smaller, so we're a company and we have our directors and that, but we work on each creek and we keep in touch with each other and we look at the flows. We work to Scott Lane as being our residual flow for our area, but we're on a creek that we've got two water rights and a neighbour's got one. So we work together in how we manage it between us, and we have a low flow sharing regime where we go half and half once the creek drops down to a certain level and then we share from there while it drops. When there's plenty of water, that's fine. Mm. So we work that way, but we also recognise what's happening on Scott Lane on the main stem. And we also watch Tirawhiti because that's our minimum flow. Mm. So, and in each, there's six rights all together covering what was originally all the rights there. So, yes. So we work on that. So we don't have a raceman, but we've all got to be very aware what's happening and keep in touch. So I've got an addiction of checking flows on Scott Lane, Waipiata and Tirawhiti plus our own every day.
Every day?
Mm.
So there's a high degree of cooperation. Everybody's in the...
We all keep an eye, and if somebody notices something, we'll make contact. But it's just watching and understanding. We have a far greater understanding of our catchment now with our meters and everything else. Mm. What we've learnt from when they went in is phenomenal.
Okay. Yeah, well, thank you for that explanation.
And you said you had a minimum flow. So does that mean you've got consent conditions with minimum flows? Or is this more
yes,
voluntary?
Yes, we have.
You do?
Yes,
okay.
We do, because it's... The, it's one cumac at Waipiata and 1.1 at Tirawhiti.
Mm.
And so we've got to watch both of those.
Mm.
And there's also a higher one for Tirawhiti if we've got supplementary water too.
Mm.
And that's quite a lot higher. So, yes, so we've got those on there. Tirawhiti's minimum flow, we had a hearing for that as we were just starting to form in Kyburn. So that was... And then so we've had that, because otherwise it would have been Sutton and that would have been too hard to work with.
Mm. And everybody within that smaller catchment, they're all on the same minimum flow, or just yourself?
We're all on the same one. We're all on the residual, keep an eye on residual for Scott Lane, which has a winter and a summer flow. And in the Tirawhiti one, we have to keep an eye on because we have to make sure that stays up up to there or we'll be off.
Okay.
So we've got to look after it.
Understood. All right. Thank you. Now, anything arising from the court's questions? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now I call Mr. James Hurley.
Non-religious. Yeah. I do, yeah.
Is your full name James Andrew Herlihy?
Yes, it is, yeah.
And are you the chairman of Maniototo Irrigation Company and Maniototo Eastside Irrigation Company Limited?
Yes, indeed.
And are you also a director of Greenbank Pastoral Limited, which is your family farming enterprise?
I am, yeah.
Jolly good. Now, Mr. Hurley, behind your right shoulder there is a plan mostly of the Manahurikia but also some of the Maniototo. Can you indicate where your family's farming interests are? Turn around, because it's not for me to know, it's for the court.
The town of more bountiful end of the Maniototo, the southern end, Padirao. So you can see it represented just here, Salmon River. We're roughly 12k south of Renfrew.
Yes. And okay, thank you. You can sit back down now if you like. And so just wonder I could ask you a couple of questions about Maniototo Irrigation Company. Does that operate the Loganburn Reservoir? And do you know when your resource consents expire for the due for expiring?
2035, I believe.
Okay. And so can you explain how the Maniototo East side works in terms of getting water from MIC, because there's some races which appear on the plan behind you, so that might assist with you to explain.
So these water races are the main races for the irrigation company. Is that what I'm
led to? Well, the legend of the map has a red line showing water races. Is the east side and west side races apparent to you on the map if you look at the Maniototo?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So, in a nutshell, the east side irrigation water comes from the Maniototo Irrigation Company, which is the parent company, which supplies three smaller district companies.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. And is that currently, is the MIC permits for operating the Loganburn, does that currently have minimum flow obligations?
Yes, so there's a minimum flow at the Payrail Weir, and we also observe, well, pay a lot of interest to the minimum flow at the Green Bridge in Waipiata.
Okay, yeah. And so just for the court, can you indicate on the plan, if you can, roughly where the Payrail Weir might be and where the bridge at Waipiata is?
Yeah, sure.
There's
Waipiata here, so Waipiata Bridge is about here. And Payrail Weir would be in this area about here.
Okay. Yep. And if you look right at the foot of that plan, just below where that legend is, there appears to be a blue area. Is that roughly where the Loganburn Reservoir is?
Just up here?
Yes.
Correct. Yep.
Thank you. All right. Those are my questions for you, Mr. Hurley. Can you please answer any questions my friend or the court might have?
Ms. Mahop.
Good afternoon. In your evidence, your statement of evidence at paragraph 12, you referred to on a volume basis, just on 80% of the deemed permits in place in the Upper Tidy catchment now have replacement permits. is that the permits that are held by MIC, or does that include
No, I believe this is talking about tributaries and catchments.
And does that just relate to deem permits, or is that
Well, it relates to deem permits being replaced by RMA permits.
Okay. Yeah. So in addition to that volume, there could be additional water permits in the catchment.
So what it's saying is 20% are outstanding, so they're still being processed, so they're going to roll over in 2021.
And that's just the deem permits that are expiring in
Correct.
October.
Yeah.
And just so I understand how MIC works, so MIC holds the deem permit or permits for... No, who holds
the... MIC owns and operates the Loganburn Dam and the permits to harvest water from there, transfer water into various waterways, divert it from the Tyree and distribute it to roughly 10,000 hectares in the Manitoba.
So in terms of who holds the water permit or the deem permit...
It's not a deem permit, it's an RMA permit.
It's an RMA permit. Who holds the RMA permit?
Manitoba Irrigation Company.
Okay, it does. And do the shareholders also hold... do they have a...
The shareholders are the owners by proxy of the MIC, so they don't individually own a piece of it, but by shareholding they do, yeah.
And do those shareholders also, some of those, have their own water permits or deem permits, or is it largely...
A lot of them, myself included, yeah.
Examination. Commissioner.
So you answered the question about other sources of water. So what else do you have?
I've got water from the Sabine Creek, the Pigburn Creek, and personal storage, on-farm storage.
Right, right. So those first two, are they deem permits or are they...?
The Sabine Creek was one of the first creeks to be put through as a group of irrigators. It's got a 35-year RMA take, and it was done in 2015 or 16 by my father, Gavin Hurley.
Right. And so how many people involved with that then?
There'd be seven stakeholders in that.
Seven stakeholders.
Yeah, plus the CIDC, which takes water for the Paterua Township.
So when you say seven stakeholders, is that sort of like individual...
Users, yeah.
Users, yeah. Right. And are those mostly farming operations?
By the CODC, they're all farming operations.
They're all farming operations. So that was the Salburn Creek. What was the next one, sorry?
Pigburn Creek.
Pigburn,
yeah.
Right. And so what's the story with that one?
We've done a lot of work. We had applied for a 15-year consent, and it's just been, we were negotiating or trying to come to arrangement with KDKO and Fish and Game. It's just been bumped for no reason, but potentially due to the time frame. So we have to either go for a hearing or we've got to roll over, go for a 6-year rollover on current terms.
When you say bump, what do you mean by bump?
Binned, canned.
You binned it yourself?
No, by the stakeholder. We couldn't come to an agreement.
Yeah. So you're not going to pursue it?
Well, without their, especially KTKO blessing, our consultants think that we would be wasting our time.
No, KTKO, what's that? Or who's that?
Naitai, yeah.
Naitai, okay, yeah. Right. Okay.
So when you say you've applied, you had put in an application, but now
we've actually still got one. It's currently live, yeah. So
sorry, I didn't.
It's live
quite
currently at the moment. The application is in the system.
Yes. So the council have that.
Yes.
And so
we were canvassing affected parties.
Right.
We haven't come to an agreement with the affected parties.
Right.
We haven't got their blessing.
Right.
So we've got to go back to our stakeholders
and decide if we want to go to a hearing or if we want to just go for a rollover.
Right, so, okay, yeah. Now I understand now. I was a little confused by your reference to
right.
binning it. So you haven't actually binned it, you're reviewing your options.
Okay, so sorry, just the vernacular. Yeah.
No, that's fine. So how many stakeholders involved with that one?
Six major ones and maybe three or four small ones.
And so are those all farming operations?
Yeah, largely. One smaller one is a domestic supply for a community that lives in what was the old youth centre? We call it Anakorena. That's their domestic supply for that community.
Right. So, I think we did see that from the helicopter
yesterday. Yeah, you'd see it from the hills.
Would that be right?
Yeah,
so I looked over and thought, I haven't encountered that before. I wondered what it was. Yes. So, and for people that are, I guess yourself, the Pigburn Creek stakeholders, yourself and the other Pigburn Creek stakeholders, do they have alternative sources of water?
Yeah, largely they would have, pretty much all of them will have, oh, not all of them, some of the smaller stakeholders wouldn't. Some of the larger ones would probably have irrigation company shares as well.
Right, okay. Yeah. And but the domestic supply? Does that,
yeah,
is that part
domestic
of the
supply
irrigation?
Is a different, probably a different thing again. So there's a community domestic scheme as well. Reticulated, yeah.
Right.
There's reticulated community
right.
drinking water, potable
right.
water. Yeah, so it's a different.
So does that come out of the Pigburn?
No, it comes
out
of the Salvin.
Oh, it comes out of the Salvin. So that's so they've got their own take for that, have they?
Correct. That was the CODC take I was referring to.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah. No, that's fine. I'm just trying to get to grips with it, so thank you for that. So if we could just have a look at your paragraph 12. So you've already answered some questions in relation to the 80% of the deemed permits.
Mm-hmm.
And then you talk about a further 5% having been lodged for replacement permits. Do you know what's happening with the other 15%?
They're in limbo, or the stakeholders haven't come to an agreement in a catchment or a creek basis, and they were... it's probably pending. They're probably going to go for a rollover. So they would have missed the deadline.
Right.
Yeah.
And then when you talk about the vast majority of the newly awarded permits, are those, when you're talking about in that sentence, are you talking about the deemed permits there?
They were formerly deemed permits, yeah. So I guess the people I'm talking about are catchments that have gone through the process, say Kyburn. And Sourburn, so they've moved from what deemed permits, or what we call mining rights, to a group RMA type take.
Right, okay, yeah. Sure.
Generally with a longer period, from 25 to 35 years.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
You clarified some points for me.
Commissioner, have you got any questions? And I have no questions, so any re-examination or anything, not re-examination, anything following on from the court's questions. All right, well, thank you very much for your evidence.
Thank you.
I also have a brief of evidence from Gavin Hurley.
Yes, Mr.
Is he
Hurley.
To be called tomorrow?
I believe so.
Okay, just, yeah, I'm just saying it. We haven't finished with the Hurley family.
No, you haven't.
Okay, good.
I mean, I don't mind what order you take things in.
No, I think Miss Crutchley will be ready to go.
Yes, she will.
Yep.
So I now call Emma Crutchley.
I do.
Is your full name Emma Crutchley?
Yes.
And are you a sheep, beef and cropping farmer on Puketoi Station in, near Paetiaroa?
Yes.
And did you prepare a brief of evidence dated the 4th of February 2021?
Yes.
And when you prepared your evidence, you said that you were the current chair of Maniototo Westside Irrigation Company. Is that still the case?
So I've resigned as Chair and Director of Westside Irrigation Company, but okay. I have authority to speak on your behalf.
You still got authority, though?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So with that change made, do you confirm that your evidence, your written evidence is true and correct to the best of your knowledge and belief?
Yes.
Now, in your personal capacity, have you also prepared a summary statement that you wish to read to the court?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Okay. My name is Emma Crutchley and I farm with my family at Puketoi Station in the Maniototo. In my submission, I wrote about water sharing agreements developed in the Upper Tauri catchment within user groups such as the Kyburn group to maintain ecological residual flows on tributaries and minimum flows on the Tauri, such as the Waipiata and the Turawiti minimum flow. I talked about how the Otago Regional Council has historically encouraged group allocations, allowing water users to work together to give priority to the environment, and I raised concerns for the precedent set by Plan Change 7 alienating rural communities from stakeholder groups because it doesn't allow room to encourage groups working together. So I've done some research around social practice theory and collaborative learning in 2018, and it showed a clear link in the literature between rural communities and effective environmental freshwater policy. So I used, as part of my study, I used the Kyburn group allocation as a case study, application as a case study, with the renewal of a large number of deed permits. So it proved the theory that working as a group, individuals will organise themselves, reduce the competition between users and give priority to the environment. The group creates transparency between users. Therefore, individuals are accountable to their community. Group allocations reduce competition between users and therefore remove the tragedy of the commons dilemma. It was also referred to in my submission. Group consents were encouraged by the Otago Regional Council and our catchment group, which is the Upper Tauri Water Resource Management Group, and this was used as a platform to initiate the discussions and build trust between stakeholder groups. So along these lines, I would like to tell the court a little bit about our latest catchment project and how Plan Change 7 can threaten our initiative for collective action. Last spring, the Upper Tauri Water Resource Management Group, which is Upper Tauri Y Incorporated, put together a $6 million catchment enhancement project to enhance water quality and quantity in our catchment over the next 5 years and beyond. This project is called Te Āki Maniototo, and it was initiated by a group of community members, including myself, working with Fish and Game Otago and supported by the Department of Conservation and the Walking Access Commission. Though eventually the Otago Regional Council did support our application, this was one of the most difficult alliances to build and took considerable time. The Otago Regional Council applied for the same funding that we applied for, but they were unsuccessful. The project we are setting up has run alongside the ongoing court process around Plan Change 7. Soon after leaving the pre-court hearing back in November, we found out that our $4.55 million funding application had been successful. So working with the Ministry for the Environment, over the past 6 months, we've refined and budgeted for an extensive work program, 65 pages long, to achieve our objectives.
We will also create 9+ full-time equivalent jobs in our community. We realise that the success of this project will rely on the relationships with our community to get buy-in while working with the Otago Regional Council and stakeholder groups such as Fish and Game Otago, Department of Conservation and the Walking Access Commission. These groups have all committed time and resources and are committed to our project successfully built through the relationship successfully built through Upper Tairiwai Incorporated. Also, over the past few weeks, we've really enjoyed building relationships and identifying shared values with Otakau and Pukatiraki Marae members to work alongside them, not just with our project, but with them and Department of Conservation on the Na'awa Tairi River Restoration Project. For me, this is incredibly special, learning about the heritage and their values for the Tairi catchment, and I'm really excited about what we can achieve. Environmental gains are most successful when authorities and stakeholder groups are known, trusted and engaged with rural communities, and the rules are understood for the environmental gains that they will achieve. So understanding this theory and the research has made me really concerned that this plan change will not have the environmental outcomes it aims to achieve and will interfere with projects like ours because of the impact on some of our community members. For example, irrigation runoff from flood irrigation can contribute to E. coli levels in the Tairi and tributaries, but because of 6-year consents, there will be no surety of supply for affected landowners to invest in more efficient application methods. Changing to more efficient irrigation methods will change the irrigated area because spray application is more efficient, but this does not translate to an increase in water abstraction. Fixing irrigated area with Plan Change 7 therefore disincentivises those environmental gains. By far the most serious threat for us is that our landowners may choose not to engage with the project and our catchment management plan because of the distrust with regional authorities and important groups. This is because public court proceedings have threatened to create conflict with some of the relationships that have been built. This comes as individuals have spoken out against one another as part of these court proceedings. Until the middle of March, Te Āki Maniatoto was developed on volunteer time for January and February, and most of March I worked up to 30 hours a week to keep the project going on top of what I already do. We now have a project manager and a part-time admin, but these two were only paid for the first time last week, and they took their jobs knowing that it might be some time before they were paid. So this was done because of the absolute belief in the collective good that we can create for our environment, our rural community and future generations. In my submission, I talk about alienating stakeholder groups from rural communities. It's a really, really uncomfortable feeling for me sitting here today when I know there are other groups and the very people where I know there are many shared aspirations and values, and I'm really concerned for the damage done to our project and the relationships that will bring success and shared outcomes, because right now I'm on the other team. And it's worth noting that yesterday we spent the day showing some of the ORC staff around our catchment, discussing the work we can create, the environmental gains we can achieve, and this was a great day out. But making sure there is room and policy that is being developed for important catchment-driven projects like this one is probably the biggest challenge we face. We have not been able to fully engage with the ORC science team because of their Plan Change 7 commitments. In my submission, I talked about the lack of work that has been done by the ORC previously. Where we are now, it feels like Plan Change 7 is being driven by the need to achieve policy goals that line up with requests from central government, with these rules that are not specific to the complexities of freshwater and water use. The problem is, this really conflicts with the morale and the values of landowners that value the environment and the well-being of rural communities for future generations. This is driving conflict and making catchments projects like ours were difficult.
Thank you, Emma. Just so that we can orient you and you can take a breath for a moment. On the map behind you, can you indicate where Puketoi Station is?
So, Paterai's here. We're over the other side, about.
Okay.
Against Roughridge.
And so there's a red line which seems to pass through Puketoi. Can you identify that for the court, please?
This up here?
Yes.
That's actually the West Side Irrigation Race.
That's West Side Race. And do you have any other sources of irrigation water on Puketoi apart from West Side water?
No.
No. Thank you. Can you just answer any questions, please?
Sure.
Just so, for the record, you said Puketoi is up against Roughridge.
Yes.
Yep. And I know where you are. Yep. Yep. Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I just have one question or two around something in the summary of evidence that you've given today, and it's on the second page, your point two, where you refer to changing to more efficient irrigation methods will change irrigated area. I'm not sure whether you've been in the room today, but we have heard evidence where there has been a change from border dike or contour irrigation to spray without changing the irrigation area.
Yep.
So are you aware of other instances where that has happened? So where there has been a change to a more efficient form of irrigation, but the irrigation area has not changed?
I would say most definitely there probably is. A lot of things contribute to the change in irrigated area. For one, when we converted all our border dikes to pivot irrigation, we put a whole lot of circles and a whole lot of squares, so we actually reduced our irrigated area. But then because we had surplus allocation, we then put in another pivot, so it ended up going up slightly. So it can go down or up. It just depends on how you want to risk your security.
What do you mean by how you want to risk your security?
Okay, so if you stretch your allocation right to the maximum limit, then you are running yourself short of water when you get really, really dry. But if you allow for a little bit of leeway in there, then you will have access to water when you hit really dry, extremely dry conditions, when it really matters, when it's most valuable.
Thank you. That was all I wanted to clarify. Thanks.
Re-examination. Have you got any questions? No.
So, just to be clear, your water rights are secure now for another 35 years, is that right?
No, we're part of the Manitoba irrigation scheme.
Well, there's their rights. But
yeah, yes. Our rights expire in 2034, yeah.
So your water is secure?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So the purpose of your coming here is what?
Well, I said in our initial submission that I wasn't directly affected, but given the project that we do with Te Aki Maniatoto, we actually are directly affected for the reading I just gave.
Yes.
And because some of the landowners we want to be involved in Te Aki Maniatoto will be directly affected, and this will affect our ability to engage them with our project because of that social practice theory and how people collaborate.
Okay. So you're here for the wider good, sort of?
Yes.
More or less. Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to get that clarification. Thank you, Your Honour.
Just want to think about what you've just said, and I'll come back with any questions I've got. sure what to ask you. I don't have to ask you anything, but... usually court proceedings are adversarial.
Yeah.
And then people take positions.
Yeah. So I find it I think it stifles the opportunity for innovative thinking.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about that.
So in our catchment group, we have the opportunity in a safe forum to develop these trusted relationships where people can actually speak what they think and share those ideas from diverse perspectives, whereas right now I'm really scared. So I'm not...
I'd have to say, giving evidence would be like the least thing I would ever want to do in my life. I wouldn't want to do it, so yeah. I get that. Yeah.
So my brain's not going to come up with anything that's slightly innovative right now.
No, it's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Does that make sense?
Because it does, yeah.
We're just finding with the group we have, and with this amazing committee, and Hamish is going to talk in a minute, he's on our committee, and we've just been able to, like, the sky's the limit. Like, we can really create something amazing here. And we actually have our project manager is Morgan Trotter, who came to us from Fish and Game, and he's finding that getting out of this court process, we can actually make things happen. And it really is sitting there yesterday having the discussion with the team from the ORC. We're thinking we've got, in June, we've got, I think it's the RPS.
Yeah.
And then at the moment, we've got the long-term plan. And those submission times are so short. And we're chasing our tails, trying to keep up, making sure there is room in that policy for catchment initiatives that can actually have environmental gains. Because with a process like this, and we've heard it from Jan described it very well, is that bottom-up ownership of the issues, finding solutions, which are all completely different. And then you talked about, I think you also talked about with her, those big problems that are coming at us, they're going to require some innovative thinking. And those regulations, those heavy regulations, those rules, they're not allowing us room to move and actually come up with those innovative ideas and navigate those challenging times.
So what's missing? I mean, don't get me wrong. Court processes are adversarial and people take positions. They just do. And in all of that, the court gathers as much evidence as it can to make the best decision that it can, while at the same time not trying to cut across relationships because they are extremely important. When the court goes home and the lawyers go home, there are still people in community that have to have those relationships intact and hopefully be, if not at the same level, at a better relationship than what they were coming into it. Yeah. And so joint witness conferencing is one way that we can take out the adversarial nature to the extent that we can by keeping lawyers and judges out of it, and then let experts talk to each other and then start to feed that evidence through to the court. So that's one way of relationship building and working on problems. But there's many ways that we go about it, also having a conversation with you and a conversation with any other witnesses as well. So prior to Plan Change 7, what were the relationships like within part of the world that you live in or within the region generally? How strong were those relationships, or were people fairly standoffish in terms of interest groups?
Well, I've only been home on the farm for 10 years, so but it's the Upper Tauri Catchment Management has been around for a long time, and but I'm just going to think about this one. I think the communities need support and resources to build that collaboration. And one of the ones that's clear to me is that engagement with the Otago Regional Council has been a real challenge for us. And if that was if they were getting in behind us and supporting us a lot more, getting engaged, so we could actually build those relationships, then that makes what we're doing more effective and faster,
mm-hmm.
because they can act as a facilitator for those processes.
In terms of the primary sector response to this plan change, would it have been different had those relationships been stronger coming into this process? And I say that bearing in mind that on the books now are three new statutes, you know, replacement of the RMA, climate change, and the work being done by the Commission and also globally and nationally, together with other instruments, you know, national policy statements, national environmental standards. What would it have been? Is the response in part due to a lack of trust and confidence in each other, I guess, put it neutrally?
A little bit, but one of the main reasons is that we can actually see how ineffective these rules will be at getting the environmental outcomes that we want to see.
Yeah, because I think I know that there's a drive for positive environmental outcomes by many, but not by this plan, and for reasons that the Regional Council has stated, and that seems counterintuitive. But then maybe they're not, because you know, where a focus is on Galaxid, that may be to the detriment of the wider biodiversity, and maybe to the detriment of other interests, which is why the council's trying to hold the door open to a lot of, you know, to everything which needs to be considered. And I'm not sure what I'm asking you, but you're in the heart of facilitating relationships. What do you want to talk about going forward? What this, how to engage, I guess, with each other differently?
Yeah. Well, engagement, for engagement, successful engagement, we need an issue, and we've got an issue around water quality and quantity. And then it's resourcing, because one of the biggest problems we have as a group is actually resourcing ourselves, because the volunteer burnout is a real thing. And I've often wondered if the money that's been spent on this plan change, if that was invested in the Manuhurikia, where they don't have a project like ours, the sky's the limit. And is it too late to go? Well, obviously the money's been spent on this court process, but is it too late to go there? And can that be used to build those relationships and trust and actually get those gains?
Yes. No, it would never be too late. And I hear what you're saying about a costly process. You know, where even as a court, we're struggling to get to the heart of the problem and to get the information that we need to be working on the problems that are evidently, you know, put before us. Court's got some very difficult decisions to make. But I'll say and say again, nothing is lost in terms of the work that has been done to date and needs to be carried forward, I think, in terms of preparing yourself for other changes to come, which are well beyond, you know, my influence.
Yeah, I don't know how we find room in this plan change to maintain those relationships with the effect it has on driving people into their silos.
I think that depends on the disposition of people at this hearing, whether you're siloed or not. Because you don't have to be, and because you'll get a better result long term if you're not. Mm. Yeah, I can't comment much further than that. It doesn't have to be that way. And the court's hoping not to leave you in a people in a place where they feel that they're taking positions, but are more better understanding of the issues,
yeah.
Or increased awareness of the issues from all sides. Yeah, because so you're not the only one who's under-resourced. Like Ngāi Tahu's very under-resourced in Seaside. It has the same, very much the same resourcing issues that you do. Yeah. But nevertheless, you've now got a relationship with people on the ground in that area, on the project that you're working on. One thing I was interested in terms of your written evidence, I thought your submission was excellent, and your written evidence, paragraph 11, and I wanted you just to talk me through this just a little bit. I might be missing a point.
Yeah.
Removing allocation through PC7 is pointless in the Tauri catchment, in the Tauri below Paro flows are managed by Maniototo Irrigation Company through water stored in the Logaburn reservoir, and I understand the storage in the Logaburn. And so removing allocation, here you're talking about Dean permits?
No. So if this was the MIC permits, if you removed allocation from the MIC permits, then it would actually have no effect on Tauri River because we already maintain the Tauri River. All it would mean is that we're using less water and there'd be more water in the dam.
Okay, now that's the part that I don't understand because I haven't got a little schematic in front of me of the inflows, outflows. So just take that just a little bit more slowly. So say it again and I'm going to draw a picture.
Okay, so MIC has permits to take from the Loganburn Dam and the Tauri, and the Tauri River's protected by those minimum flows. And so if you reduce the allocation to the MIC and within that scheme, then all it would mean is that more water would be left in the dam, so it wouldn't affect the flows in the Tauri.
So tell me, Logan, the Loganburn Dam is discharging to the Loganburn, which is what, a tributary of the Tauri? Is that how it goes?
Yep.
Yep, okay, got it. And MIC permit is to do what? It's to dam the Loganburn, or to put water into the Loganburn, or to take water out of the Loganburn, or both?
There's several consents, and I'm not familiar with the actual details, but we've got the consent to take from the dam and from the river.
From the dam and also from the river?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so the MIC permit, is that a Dean permit or something else?
No,
or
it's a resource.
Just consent. An ordinary resource management one? Okay. And then if you reduce the take under PC7, if you reduce the allocation under PC7, you just leave more water in the dam.
Yeah, so the river's not going to be affected, and I think the reasons for that rule was to make more water be in the rivers, but the irony here is that it won't change the river if in this case.
Okay, so then you might be talking about a damming permit rather than the impounding permit, if there is an impounding permit, rather than a taking permit, or don't know?
I have no idea.
Don't know. Okay, no, that's all I need to know. Okay, that was one of my questions. Anything else? Anything arising? Nothing? All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your evidence.
Thank you.
Going to take a break. It's 4 o'clock. I'm going to just take a 10-minute break. Don't want me on the bench. I'll just go all day. So I need to take a break. Everybody else does.
Thank you.
All rise.